This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
Let's get back to Indianapolis. Sal Capaccio is there. Much more news today from around the league. As Sal told us yesterday, Sean McDermott, one of the first to arrive. I'm not sure any other team personnel did media yesterday, but McDermott was there for the competition committee stuff. Today we get the GM, Brandon Bean, who, among other things, discussed the Khalil Shakir contract extension. All right, to Indy. Here's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Sal, what's your opinion of the Shakir move, and what did Brandon Bean say for you to illustrate how this went down?
Yeah. Hi, guys. So my opinion is that, you know, they locked up a player who they really like, that they developed. He has been on that same ascension that a lot of players have taken in this iteration of the Bills under this regime, which is year two to year three is usually a big jump for a lot of guys. That's what's happened here with Khalil Shakir. He was their team's leading receiver. He had 100 targets this year, over 70 catches. Hit a nice year, but he's also not in that stratosphere of, you know, top-tier wide receivers and true number ones, I guess you want to call it that way. And they're not paying him that way. Now, the initial numbers come out of it can be up to $60 million over 4 years. Well, that tells me when it's worded like that, that's the agent putting that out there to make sure everybody knows he got the most money possible for his client, $60 million. I'd be stunned if he actually got $15 million per year, actually. That's the most he could possibly make. What it sounds like at $32 million, I believe it was, $33 million for the guarantees over 4 years, that's the number you really pay attention to, and that's less than $10 million a year. But then you have the what's reported as $18 million over the first 12 months. That tells me that signing bonus plus base salary probably will take a little bit of a hit on the salary cap for the Bills. This is not a contract that you probably could have lowered because he was a fifth-round pick going to last year of his rookie deal. You're going to have to actually add on to your salary cap. My guess is that you'll do that with how this contract has got to be structured, dealing with this type of player in that situation. But at the same time, it sounds like they got him for a rate where I think you could definitely live with the Buffalo Bills and two sides that probably wanted to be together, and it wasn't that hard to get done, to be quite honest.
Yeah, you know, he is sort of in a pocket where, like, you know, he's not a top tier guy. He's your slot receiver. He certainly matters a lot to this team, especially considering what they have currently. Even if they bring everybody back, he still would rate. So unlike, say, Benford, who, you know, on the other side of the ball is, I think, looking at a top of market type of contract. And let's say, like, that has to be harder, but I would understand that maybe taking longer, right? Just to, yep. when you're talking about those kinds of dollars, as opposed to this one, which is, you know, by the NFL standards, somewhat modest.
I agree. And I would tell you, like, the thing we've talked about a lot here, and we're going to keep talking about it, these guys who are all going into the final year of their deal. So there's five guys. The first domino has fallen, right? The five guys are Khalil Shakir, James Cook, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, and Gregory Rousseau. Let's just take it by, I'm not saying importance to the team. We can make that argument and whoever that is. Let's take it by how maybe easy it might be to get done. I think this was probably the easiest it could get done. It makes sense that it got done first because of that. Brandon Bean gave some insight onto that, and he said, look, you don't have all these conversations at the same time because that's too hard to do, but you get a feel for where everybody's thinking, and then you kind of focus on a couple of them, and then you see where it goes. And this one just started going in the right direction. It was trending in the right direction. They got it done. Next one for me might be easiest to do. It'd be one of two things. It's probably either Terrell Bernard, because I think – if you really want to keep Terrell Bernard, he's the captain of your defense. You developed him. He's not probably going to make top of the charts money. He's not an all-pro. I mean, maybe Pro Bowl or whatever. That type of level player, that's fine. Unless he's seeking that kind of money, there's probably not a comparison that shows that he should get that. But he'll get paid pretty well, and probably two sides who want to make something happen. The other one that might be the easier one might be Greg Rousseau, because in that case, unlike the other guys, he actually has a really big number on the cap right now due to the fifth-year option being guaranteed. You can lower that significantly, right, and extend him, which might be something they just want to do before free agency.
Yeah, the hang-up there, Sal, is I wonder, and I don't know how specifically we have talked about this. I know I've brought it up a lot. Any Myles Garrett trade, an idea of acquiring Myles Garrett and getting him a new contract, assuming that one is warranted and wanted, if you're going to make that kind of commitment and trade the assets it would take. I wonder whether the Browns want Rousseau as part of that trade package or not. Can I tie up $35 million and $25 million in my two defensive ends?
It's a good question, and there's a lot of things that have to be moving parts here with timelines. If the Bills want to make a deal, I did ask Brandon Bean today, and you have to be careful how you do this, because not saying even from my end, but I know that he can't talk about players, right? I know he can't talk about Myles Garrett or Max Crosby or Micah Parsons, so I understand that. So I said, knowing you can't talk about players, what is the process right now if you're interested in players and names that you hear out there? He understood what I was saying. He even said, I know where you're going with the question, and he said those things are happening all the time, and you're not doing your job if you don't look into it. So he did not dismiss the idea of, you know, trying to make something like that happen. He didn't say they were aggressive trying to do it, but he certainly didn't dismiss the idea. Now, that being said, if it was to get to that point, considering what Andrew Berry said today, we're holding firm, we're not trading Myles Garrett, like, I mean, you may just have the timeline bulldog where you have to take care of Greg Rousseau in some way, right? Because even if a trade happens, it ain't happened maybe till the draft, let's say, which is a month and a half after free agency begins.
Sal Capaccio with us. Back to Shakir, recognizing, as you said, his volume went up this year in year three. He was more of a, you know, better yards per catch player, but with almost half the catches last year, his first 2 years in the league. Can they get to a higher level than what they've been at, like what they were at this year with him, though? Like, what is more that they can get from Shakir, or is paying him this money commensurate with the season they just got? Like, do you think with Kincaid, with Coleman, we get right to it? There's got to be a higher ceiling, you know, down the field, whatever it is for the schemes, whatever it is for these two guys. I think that's mostly because of when they were drafted. I just wonder if Shakir is a player where you could see him putting up bigger numbers, different numbers. It's four touchdowns. I had two games this year over 72 yards.
Yeah, it's a good question, Mike. And I don't know if I should even want to expect that from him. He's not that type of player, right? I mean, like, it isn't kind of what he did this year. If you get four more years of Khalil Shakir doing exactly what he did this year, then you have a debate on, was that contract worth it? And I'd still say maybe it is, because he's very important to what they do. Because that's still, to this year at least, the leading receiver on the Bills. I think that's a really good question. Like, I don't know if you can expect him to be like 1,100 yards, right? 90 to 100 catches, something like that. That's a pretty big jump for a guy that, you know, this year I think might be kind of where, I don't know if he's at his ceiling, but I can't imagine there's so much more there, yeah, considering the traits he has. This is not, again, this is not a Justin Jefferson. It's not a Jamar Chase. That is no knock on Khalil Shakir. Khalil Shakir is squeezing every bit out of what he has, and I think you're paying him to be the same player he's been, and maybe a little bit more over the next 4 years.
Yeah. So what do you think this could mean to what they plan to do at receiver? For, you know, I mean, Shakir obviously locked up, necessary, and no argument. And I love it. And I love Sal, too. I want to say this while you're on with us, that they got it done before the market sort of resets, right? He comes in now as the 23rd highest paid receiver. I said in our first segment of the show today, I'll bet by the time the smoke clears and we get through like all the off-season stuff, he's somewhere between 30 and 40. Even. You know, we'll see about that because not everybody that's on that list ahead of him right now will keep their current contract. Maybe some guys will get released and get, you know, smaller deals. But nonetheless, what does his being locked up mean to the rest of the receiver room? Because, you know, Amari Cooper's a free agent, Mac Hollins is a free agent, and we'll get to Coleman here. I want you to address that part first, and then I want to talk about Coleman, because we really didn't do a lot of that yesterday when you were with us, and I thought the criticism of him being doubled down on by McDermott was very notable. Anyway, what do you think the offseason holds for a receiver?
Well, Keon Coleman's a big part of this answer, right, which we can talk more about what he said. And the general way, the general part of that is it comes down to, really, two guys and what you think they're, what they think they're going to get from. Keon Coleman, which is, are they super confident he will turn into that second-year player that they believe that he was turning into until he didn't like get back to that level after the injury, which we'll talk about? That's number one. If they are not confident in that, then they're going to have to do something more here. If they are, then I don't know how much, because I think they really feel that, you know, he can help him. The other guy is Curtis Samuel, and I really believe that the team believes that that injury, that turf toe injury he had, really hampered him a lot last year, and they never got around to using him the way they truly envisioned on using him. And they're going to have to make a decision on both these guys on, are we just going to run it back and hope that, that those two things happen the way that, A, Coleman, we expected him to keep ascending last year, and B, that the injury to Samuel, you know, doesn't hamper him and he can continue to, he can be better and what we expected from him. And then from there, I think Mac Hollins, you know, if you want him back, you're going to get him back. Mac Hollins loves Buffalo. He wants to be in Buffalo. I don't think it's going to take much. You might have to pay him a little bit more than you paid him last time. You know, you can pay him $3-4 million a year. That might be for what he did for you. I don't think that's too much.
That's probably fine. He outperformed that anyway, I think. Right? I would say.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he didn't smash, I think so. But still, yeah, it was a bargain.
That's right. Now, before we get to Coleman, I will say there has been talk, and he was asked today again, Brandon Bean, about, do you need a field stretcher? Mm-hmm. And John McDermott was asked, do you need a field stretcher? McDermott's answer was, I'm always looking for guys to stretch the field both vertically and horizontally, right? Same thing he said last year. And we know this. Sean believes in using every inch of the field and getting the ball in the guy's hands. And he did say, though, they needed a little bit more down the field than they did last year. He said it doesn't have to be every play, but, you know, maybe they needed a little bit of that, which is interesting. And then Bean said today, I'll never turn away speed. But you got to be a football player.
Right.
His exact quote was, football isn't played on a track.
True enough.
Yeah. So Coleman, Sal, the thing that I think I'd want to say here is, considering everything that you just sort of backfilled on how they talked about him yesterday, I don't know what the whole story is there, but it sounds like they were let down by either his ability to bounce back from the injury, put the work in, be a pro. At the same time, you know, McDermott, minutes before or after, is complimenting Cook for his dedication to his craft and how rewarding that is as a coach. And then, you know, I'm getting Coleman being kind of a letdown here. And to me, that doesn't sound like an organization that feels they have a bankable commodity there. So I'd be surprised if they really want to count on him, because I think they seem to be very much about sending him messages at this point. I'm sure whatever has been said publicly has been said probably even more sternly to him privately. I don't know what didn't go right there, but they seem somewhat on a mission to like let us know that he needs to do more.
Yeah, it's interesting that it seems a little bit more than normal with that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're not normally like that. They're not normally like what you just described.
Right, that's why it stands out so much. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I just did, I just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Matt Bovey. I'm going to post it as soon as we're done here, guys, so everybody knows. And Matt's words were that they both were they both were critical, but McDermott was much harsher in his criticism. And I agree, kind of the way he approached that. I do think it's notable, though, that the way Sean talks about James Cook and how we all, I think, might remember him talking about James Cook after his rookie year, almost similarly, maybe not as harsh to Keon Coleman, but there were things about James Cook after his rookie year where Sean indicated, like, practice habits, really, you know, dialing in, attention to detail, showing up to work every day, putting in the work. And now look where he is and the way he talks about him. So I think they probably have it in their mind and even have said this, hey, like, we're not giving up on this kid. He can do this. But it does seem like they're being a little bit more poignant for whatever reason. And I also am not sure. Wasn't there a game last year, correct me if I'm wrong, Keon Coleman didn't play because he was late for a meeting or something earlier in the week, right? He didn't play in the first quarter. Didn't play the first couple drives. That's what it was.
Yep.
And I believe, if I remember right, that was the reasoning. So if you start to add that stuff up, it starts to make sense where they say, look, we need him to be more accountable, be more professional. But this happens with young players sometimes. They are highly regarded. They have these really good college careers. They've been always the best player wherever they've been. They come into the league. They start to have some success. They're feeling it. And then all of a sudden, this injury happens. And he just, maybe he doesn't do everything he needs to do to get back to what he needs to be at the NFL level because, A, he's never experienced something like that, or, B, he just thought that I'm just going to show back up and play, like, 'cause that's what I did my whole life. You know, if I missed a week or a day or whatever, I'm just going to be fine, and that hasn't happened. And I do think that there's a process. I know that people, that word's been overused a lot by people, but I do think they believe there's a process here that he needs to adhere to, that a guy like James Cook started to adhere to after his rookie year, and you see where he's gone to.
I really wonder, last thing on this from me anyway, I feel like I'm just taking the thing over here, but I wonder if Coleman got hurt and just sort of felt like, oh, well, that's it for me this year.
Right.
You know, like,
You take that on top of hitting a rookie wall anyway. When did he get hurt? He got hurt in the Miami game, which was October, right? It was after the Seattle game. Right? The Seattle game was really good. He has that Miami game. He gets hurt, and then he's out for a while. He doesn't come back till, like, what, late November, whatever it was, maybe after the bye even. Yeah, maybe. And, like, a lot of times guys are already starting to hit rookie walls because they're just not used to the grind of the NFL. And you're right. Maybe it just was, all right, you know. And in the meantime, they traded for Amari Cooper, like, right around that time, right? They're adding Mac Hollins is getting some playing time. So you never know what a young guy is thinking like that.
Mac Hollins is already a great trivia question, and the season is barely over. But, you know, thinking about having the MVP quarterback in the league, and for Hollins at 5 to be your leading touchdown catcher is kind of insane. Like, I wonder over the years how we conflate Allen's MVP season with other Bills seasons. Like, I think we'll remember that Diggs was not on the team because that was so prominent in the Allen MVP narrative that Diggs was gone. Was Davis gone? I think he didn't they leave at the same time? It's so easy to forget about Samuel. I'm guilty of it all the time, like thinking about what the room looks like and will they draft somebody else or even sign somebody else. It's easy to forget about Samuel. Do you think they're right? Like you're saying, Sal, that you think the Bills' bet is that, or maybe was, probably was even, that he wasn't 100%. Like if he is 100% next year, maybe he gets hurt again. But if he doesn't, at 29, the player he's been, the player he is, what would you think there? Like, is he some? Would he be the maybe not the favorite, but like it's significant if you had like peak Curtis Samuel. I just don't know if that's realistic.
I wonder. I mean, you're talking to a guy here that's a big Curtis Samuel fan, going back to his time in Carolina and Washington. I've really always loved his game. And then last year I was just as much like anyone or guilty of or whatever of hey, he had his best year under Joe Brady, right? Joe Brady's going to know how to use him. I really bought into that because I felt that would be the case. So I do think that there's a lot more there that they can get out of him. I didn't love the way they used him a lot when he came back. They're throwing these little screens down the line of scrimmage, but again, If one of your traits is being able to get down the field and catch the ball and then and get past people, it's harder to do when you have this injury. Another one of his traits is to catch the ball and then start making moves and running past people. They still try to do that with him. It just didn't go that great. So I think there's got to be a bit of a mesh here. I don't know if you could get necessarily to that ceiling that they necessarily anticipated, but I do think that they feel that it really hampered what he did. And then that, because of that, considering everybody else around him and Keon Coleman's and what happened with him, I just think that it kind of had a domino effect probably on the entire group. Yet here is the quarterback winning league MVP anyway.
Makes sense.
Rule stuff?
The McDermott seem, yesterday this came up and it came up again today in an interview. There seems to be some support for touchbacks on kickoffs being moved to the 35. Do you like that?
I'm conflicted on this. I don't hate it because I think I really liked the new dynamic kickoff and what they're trying to do, and I like having more returns. But as the season went on, too many teams, I think, started booting it through the end zone anyway. So what was the point? You're getting it at the 30-yard line, right? I do want to see more returns. I think that that is an exciting play. I would like to see that. The 35 is tough, though. I mean, I put myself in these coaches' positions. I'm like, dude, the 35? Like, wow. Like, these kickers now kick them from 60, right? Like, it's tough, but if that's what they have to do, maybe they have to do it. I'm conflicted because I do see the other side of it. I know it's easy to just say, put the ball at the 35, who cares? Make sure, you know, don't take the, you know, don't take the wimp way out and just cook it through the end zone. But, you know, a 35-yard line is pretty significant to start a drive, yeah. Right? I mean, so I don't know. Is there a compromise? Can we go 32.5? I don't really know right. What the answer is.
I'm more open to it. Last year, Sal, I was really, you'll remember, dismissive. I thought it would just be touchback city. And yeah. I'm trying to remember the numbers. I haven't been able to find it, but I saw something early in the week in advance of the combine, because of course the rules committee is meeting and all this stuff, and there's always going to be talk about tweaks and whatnot, and the kickoff is kind of center stage again for that. And I feel like they went up significantly. Like, I was kind of blown away. Not that I was wrong about something, but that coaches didn't take the safe way out.
That's right. I believe your data is correct, but I do think towards the end of the year and into the playoffs, the data started to shift. I have to go back and look. It went the other way. There were a lot more touchbacks in the playoffs.
All right, Sal, what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is a lot more of the GMs and coaches. I was listening in on some guys today. Andrew Berry today, by the way, reaffirmed that they are holding their stance on, you know, Myles Garrett and not trading him. They don't want to do that. And we wouldn't expect him to say anything else. Andy Reid was interesting today on basically they're not having Tooney play tackle next year. From what I gather from him, like, that's not going to happen. They have some interesting decisions to make as well. On the Super Bowl, his quote was, it was a bad day to have a bad day. So that was you have that there. And then Nick Sirianni spoke today, and it was really nice. He talked very glowingly about, you know, growing up in Jamestown and how it shaped him in Southwestern High School. So that was very cool. So we'll get more of that tomorrow, head coaches and GM.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
As the players start arriving, I am sitting right now, guys, the way the convention center is set up. So everybody is, I went to a different part. It's a huge building. I mean, there's just huge halls in this convention center. It's massive. And downstairs in one of them is the combine where the podiums all are and Radio Row is and all of that. So I come upstairs. And I'm on the second floor, and there is like a good, I would say, good 60 yards here between me and this wall and a lot of space. And there's guys up here a little while ago, and they're literally running the 40-yard dash right by my table here getting ready to and doing three cones literally while they're out here. And I'm standing here, and I'm doing the podcast with Matt Bove, and guy runs by me, and I'm like, hey, go Orange. You're wearing a Syracuse shirt. I'm like, who are you? And he said, Aronde. I was like, you're Aronde Gadsden. So we started talking. They're literally like right in front of me running the 40-yard dash on the carpet over here.
At least there's a carpet. That's what I was wondering. It's right. Like a
I know, yes,
floor.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
That seems dangerous.
Exactly right, yeah, yes. Right.
Gadsden is
pretty
an interesting.
Cool, though. That's what you get here.
He's an interesting prospect. I know people who really like him. Tight end from Syracuse. So.
He is. And I'll tell you, and I told him the story. We were live on the podcast, and I said, Aronde, I'm going to tell you a story. True story. I said, you know, your dad played for the Dolphins, and he killed the Bills. He was great. Now his dad is on WQAM in Miami. So I go on WQAM in Miami like once or twice a year. And 2 years ago, I remember I went on, and they bring me on. I'm on with him, maybe Joe Rose. I can't remember who else it was. And I said, Aronde, this is Aronde Sr. I said, Aronde, I just want to tell you before I talk with you on the radio, man, did I hate you, but boy, do I love your son. So that's what I sold. So it's kind of funny. He's a really good player. He's an interesting prospect. You're right. He was a wide receiver. He got hurt and missed most of his junior year. He came back for his senior year. He's a tight end and one of these new age tight end type. He's like a kind of a Darren Waller type of tight end, you know?
Love that. I mean, tight ends are really interesting. The Bills have two, so they're probably not in the market. But, you know, the top guys are so often on the good teams. Like, it's the win rate. Scott Barrett was tweeting about it. The win rate at tight end is interesting. Kittle and Kelsey, of course, over the years. Mark Andrews. Very good. Thank you, Sal.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right. It's our man, Sal Capaccio, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Well, you didn't mention Brock Bowers.
It was intentional, obviously. You're trying to drive his ADP. Yeah. You're trying to drive his ADP down.
Look at you.
Did I use the lingo appropriately?
Yes.
That's a win for me.
You're not correct, but yes, you did use the correct lingo. That's definitely what you did.
That's all I really care about. I just want to sound right. I don't care if I was right. I just want to sound like, you know, I want to use the right stuff so the hipster fantasy people don't like look down on me.
Brock Bowers is tight end 1.
There's such a thing going as into next year. People, by yeah,
it's redundant, actually. We're all hipsters. He's tight end 1. He's one of the very top assets in all of Dynasty Fantasy, Bowers. 803-0550. So Shakir signs. Fine. There it is again. I got another F word to run by Bulldog after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Sabres and Ducks. Pregame at 6 here on WGR.
We're always looking to add speed, but they got to be football players too. I'm never going to turn down speed. I promise you, I'm not. But we're always looking for everything. And so you want speed at many positions as you can. But football, as we know, it's not played on a track. And so it's the whole thing. We are evaluating the football player first, and then what else do they bring to the equation?
Brandon Bean today in Indianapolis. I don't love that. You know?
Football's not played on a track?
We know.
Yeah.
You said it twice. All right.
Yeah.
Got it. We know.
Yeah.
On the heels of Worthy's season,
right,
who you didn't pick to pick Coleman, I'm always looking to add speed. Not always, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe you thought football wasn't played on a track, and that's why you didn't value the idea of drafting Xavier Worthy.
I mean, really, it's like years of this. It's not – no one's ever going to be critical of Brandon Bean for only picking the fastest guys in the, you know, at the combine. It's just, you know, how many years in are we? And it's just – it only goes so far to say I'm always looking to add speed. I'd never turn it down. Well – what examples are there of the Bills adding speed? Samuel was supposed to be adding speed.
Sure.
And I can accept that he wasn't 100%, but it was a long season, and he ran sideways. He was McDermott's, right, one of his ways of stretching the field horizontally, which, frankly, for me, is also kind of an eye roll. You know? So, speed, if it matters to you.
Yeah, Deontay Hardy.
Deontay Hardy.
I think that's your list. And, yeah, I mean, as someone who, should I go back as far as I need to and then work my way forward? I mean, I say it all the time. Right after the Bills lost in the championship game the first time around to the Chiefs, like, it, to me, was very apparent on the field. Like, I'm lacking high end here. I don't have anyone that really – Diggs is awesome, and Davis is has a role. And, like, you know, that team had, I think, 13 seconds was Emmanuel Sanders. It was still John Brown and Cole Beasley. Like, I had a nice set of receivers, and Brown was a speed guy. I don't know how fast he was by the time he was playing a big role here, but that was his rep coming out of, you know, when they signed him even. Speed guy,
yep,
all through his career in Arizona. So I should add, I guess, to be fair, put him on the list.
He suffices.
Yeah.
But these how you got pretty. Like, going back to Brown, when any GM, not to say that Breen doesn't deserve credit for it, but would have wanted to surround Allen with talent, you know, they did a great job there.
Yeah.
Brown and Beasley were a great job there. And Diggs was never the fastest.
Right.
But no one's either saying that he wasn't a good idea, a good get.
No, right. But still, all those guys were on that team. And I don't think, I mean, I don't mean to just be defending an opinion I had from 5 years ago as having to be absolutely correct, but I think it was an easy takeaway. Tyreek, Bean maybe even said it, right? There's only one of him, right? Because that's a guy that's a track superstar type speed player, but is also a very dangerous, very good football player. So it translates. And, you know, that combination can be elusive, I suppose, but man. I'm just going a long way. It's not a lot of words. I've wanted it for more than 5 years. And that's why Worthy was such an idea worth investing into me, is there it is.
That's really it.
I'm in the market for one of these players, like a player at this position. I'm in the market. And here's a guy whose maybe premium trait is that. And he's, you know, consensus around where you're picking. And okay, let's just do it.
That's really it.
And just couldn't do it. And I don't know what their reasons were. If they were worried about his slight build or football's not played on a track or whatever. I don't want to connect the dots that aggressively necessarily because I don't know why they didn't pick Worthy. Maybe they thought Worthy wouldn't be picked until 33. Maybe they loved him and wanted to pick him at 33. There's a story out there about how Joe Brady hit it off with him and that Worthy thought the Bills were going to pick him. So I don't know.
If that's the case,
what ended up happening?
But you don't let the trade happen without asking and finding, right, out who the Chiefs want of all teams.
Right.
That's easy to avoid. I choose to not believe the Bills were into Worthy in that moment because that was pretty avoidable what happened.
Yeah.
It was under their control. It's as simple as, for me, like, you're at the combine. Xavier Worthy broke the record for the fastest 40 time ever at the combine. He was the prototype of a speed receiver. That was it. There's no maybe. Like that was his brand. And here's Bean saying, like, well, I'll always do it. Right at 1 year after, and we've lost to the Chiefs again, and Worthy had a big Super Bowl too. What after all that happened, I need a little bit of a caution light here on this. Like, I'll always do it. Well, you know, you didn't. And there was the example, arguably, of your time to do it and the player who was the, again, embodiment of that trait. Didn't do it. So, yeah, just...
Yeah, and the guy you ended up with is... Yep. To some degree, you couldn't be further apart style-wise. It doesn't mean he won't work eventually. But right now, for all their desire to get the good people, the best people, character, and all of that, and culture, everything that's being said about Coleman by them sounds like, you know, he didn't really lean into it enough. To some extent, like we need more. Like there is message sending going on that makes you, I think, worry about what kind of headspace the kid is in. And so you want, and I respect, I'm not against them trying to find the best people they can find, right, on and off the field. They've had a lot of success doing things the way they want to do it here, with character being at a premium. So I'm not trying to have it always here, but they made a choice, and the guy they chose here, not even a year since they've drafted him, is being told publicly, you got to dig in. I mean, it's not a great sign.
No, that's
while right. while the other guy, you know, I'll stop short of saying smashed, but
I don't want to hear outperformed him. I don't want to hear. I mean, he's going to be asked about it. He was today. I don't want to hear any more about just like I'll draft speed. You know, to say twice in the same answer that football is not played on a track is, you know, condescending. Like we don't know that. We I get it, but you could use it, and it's been true, and it's still true, and you lost again, and you lost to the team that did the thing that you're being asked about in that one player and on a trade from you. Not that they didn't also get your quarterback in a trade with the Bills. All right. That was a lot.
All right, we're in a really good place right now.
I know. Was it the Sabres we're talking about? What's going on in there?
What was your other F word?
I'm saving it. I'm saving the other F word.
Okay, all right.
That went on for a while.
I didn't mean to rush you. I just, you know.
Do you have a receiver you like?
In the draft?
Yes. Is it still that guy from Oregon?
Yeah, kind of.
So, as a fantasy player, like, I'm really into the next few days to see. I mean, I've read how 40 times, Worthy, you know, included, but 40 times are not that predictive of a career. I mean, it's one piece of it. Last year, we had Brian Thomas, who did great anyway, but also A.D. Mitchell, guys who didn't have the, you know, yards per route run stuff. That didn't look good on them. But, again, Thomas looks like a great pick for Jacksonville. What would it be or when? The Bills don't have a third as of now. And that's maybe when I'd want to do this, from what I've read about the class, that you don't need to draft after the top guy, McMillan, anyway, or Travis Hunter, if it turns out that he's going to be a receiver. Cleveland said today they are looking at him as a receiver, Travis Hunter, who also plays corner. I think you've got, it sounds like you've got 10 to 15 players that are pretty flat. And I don't want to draft the first guy on a list like that. I want to draft the last guy. That's maybe a little bit like last year, too. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to end up that way. There are going to be hits and misses. You had Brian Thomas and you had Jalen Polk, who were really not drafted that far apart from each other. And the latter of those two guys basically did nothing for New England. Anyway, if you want speed, Isaiah Bond would be somebody. Maybe he goes in round two from Texas
right? Yep.
A lot of Trey Harris from Ole Miss. Like, you've got guys that are more the speed. Harris is also big.
Yep.
And then there are a lot of those guys that don't get lauded for their speed. Like, you've got the Jack Besh, or Beshes, if you want,
mm-hmm.
if that's how you even say it. I never looked that one up, of the world. Anyway, so pick your favorite flavor.
Yeah,
in there.
Tez Johnson to me is, where he ends up, if their second round pick is too soon for a guy like that, that's the Oregon guy you referenced earlier. Then maybe that's where not having a third could really sting you.
They're gettable.
Because if that's where he is supposed to be slotted in, I don't know. I feel like we'll know. I think after this week unfolds and everybody runs their times, we'll start getting a better idea of where at this time of the year, I'm still seeing Bond and Tez Johnson are CBS here. This is Trapasso's site. He's not in charge of the whole thing, but they're ranked. They're ranked in the hundreds here now, but that has been unchanged since this first went up. As soon as I looked when football was winding down. So surely that's going to change as we go here. But I don't want to overdraft somebody like that. But I like the idea. I think there could be value in a smaller guy like Johnson. The biggest concern about him is that he weighs like he's 160 pounds. And that's worthy to an extent. Worthy was a little heavier than that. But small guys, and I just don't know that the rules, the way the game is being played now, that teams shouldn't wake up to the idea that I don't need you to be 210. I don't need you to even be 185. Like, we can make it work. Can you get out the line of scrimmage? Everybody that we've talked to that I've brought him up to, I talked to, was it Mike Renner on Friday, Zach? So, like, you can't get your hands on him at the line of scrimmage.
Too similar to Shakir. Slot.
Yeah.
Not big. $60 million today.
Right. I'm enamored of the speed, but if he's a slot guy, then I probably got to remove him from my list. I got to find a new guy.
You need a small burner. That's what you need. Because if he's a big burner, you're not getting him.
Right. Well, that's what...
Those are rare.
He's a small burner, but he's so small that he's not... Don't get too
Tank
small.
Dell.
Damn it.
Tank Dell. No, yeah. He's good. Pre-injury, anyway. He's good.
Well, right.
He was good.
This is what Renner said to me on Friday. How did he get hurt? Blocking in the run game.
Which was stupid.
Right.
But then this year, on a great catch.
Yeah.
That was a tough one. 803-0550, if you have a thought on the Shakir decision by the Bills or their upcoming draft. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here for your calls until 6, at which time it's Sabres pregame home to Anaheim tonight. This is WGR. Dierks Bentley is coming to Buffalo this summer, and we have your chance to win your way in. Be caller 5 right now. 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. To win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley, Zach Top, and the band Lula at Darien Lake Amphitheater Thursday, August 14th. Courtesy of Live Nation. Sabres a stout minus 190 on the money line tonight against Anaheim.
Tage Thompson is only plus 4,500 to score 3 goals.
Oh. Boring.
I can't do that.
Pick someone else.
I can't do that. No. No. That would be pathetic.
Would it?
I think so.
Paterka? Lines could be scrambled a little bit with injuries.
I gotta just eat it. I just gotta eat it. It's been a few weeks. I just gotta live with it. It's how it goes sometimes.
Paterka +10,000.
Yeah. You know, double.
Thompson is 5 on my app.
Yeah. It's not enough. And there needs to be a 7 there for me to get in.
Must win?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
I mean, right. Home to Anaheim? You need all these wins. Home right. to Anaheim.
Paul will tell us later. But Anaheim's coming in hot.
Oh, well, okay.
I think they're 7-1 in their last 8. I think I read
due to lose.
Paul. So
they don't know what they're in for.
Sabres have also won 5 of 6.
Well, something has to give, right?
I suppose.
Or they go to a shootout.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that will happen. I'm walking around like an idiot with my phone case breaking and the button, as I've mentioned recently. I haven't done anything about it because I don't know anything about anything anymore. The side where I can black the screen out. So then I can put it in my pocket and not have my phone do things on its own.
Sure.
So I can't do that now. So
Now you're just carrying your phone in your hand everywhere?
I either carry it around in my hand or I put it in my pocket anyway and see what happens. And one such time yesterday doing that, you know, maybe it often, like, no apps get opened or, you know, like a text messages with 80 characters and 11 X's in a row.
Please tell me you put your phone in your pocket and you bought Yankees tickets or something.
I'm on the list for Yankees tickets because I bought tickets to one game. I've been to one game.
Mm-hmm.
And I get Yankees ticket offers like every day. No, walked around for a few minutes, phone in my pocket, took it out. What popped up? DK Horse. Was it a sign? I don't know. I didn't take it as a sign. But I'd forgotten all about DK Horse.
Yes.
And there it was.
It's been a few weeks.
There it was. You know, like my pup, Margot, with her puppy dog eyes looking up at me when I've got a piece of chicken. Well, yeah, I'm right here. I'm DK Horse. I'm right here if you want to, you know, place a wager over at Hialeah in the fifth. I got you. I got you. Some good action at Gulfstream. I got you right here. Hi, I'm DK Horace. Remember me? You've forgotten all about me. Do you have, like, email subscriptions and stuff where they talk to you like that? Hey, golf.com.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm hooked up with golf.com, but I get emails from golf.com that say, that talk to you like that. Like, oh, we've missed you.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm done with you if you're ever going to tell me that as, like, an email, that you've missed me.
I never wanted to not be missed. I never wanted a relationship with you at all.
No, I don't want you to, I don't want golf.com to tell me they've missed me.
I was on some other list. What happened?
Just,
yeah.
Rephrase that.
Every now and then I go through a purge where I will, because everything you want to unsubscribe from now is like, I'm going to the browser now and there's a questionnaire. Why? Okay, but I'll do it every night just because I get so sick of some of the stuff I get. It's just not stuff I'm interested in at all.
We mentioned on ADP Chasing on the podcast Monday morning, Venus being in retrograde. And so I looked that up for the guys and realized, I don't even know what it really means, but like on March 1st, Saturday, Venus enters retrograde. And I said on the show, I'm sure I'm going to get like just flooded with horoscope offers for having said that. Although that hasn't happened yet, in fairness. In fairness to the internet.
That was only yesterday, though, wasn't it?
That was yesterday. That's right. Good point.
Give it time.
I have another F word for you. Khalil Shakir gets that money. Sal came on earlier and said, how are we going to look at it in 4 years if Shakir gives the Bills last year four more times? That's the player. I don't think there's really much reason to think it won't be kind of like that if he stays healthy. Will it feel like it was worth it? Lines are open for your calls. Sabres pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.